When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? Hum diddly dee!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Apollo Creed predicted one thing for this Knicks 76ers series, and that was pain. My goodness. Hello? And it's the best hour of your day right now on a Tuesday afternoon. The Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. And my goodness, the NBA finally got underway with some bangers last night, K-Dub.
What do you mean, finally?
Finally.
NBA's been hot. I thought you were all happy about the weekend
Playoffs.
Because of all your ratings. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, did we get good ratings this weekend, by the way?
I don't know.
Some of those things to get angry.
I don't know.
I mean, there's one team single-handedly tanking the ratings. That's the Orlando Magic. The Cavs Magic. Why are we even playing this series? Just move the Cavs on. Nobody wants to watch the Magic, you know, stink up the TV here. By the way, NBA TV is where those games mostly are at, and rightfully so. But let's clear some hot topics before we get into that NBA action from last night and how it pertains into today. Looking at some things that are interesting. Kevin, how about this? Caitlin Clark. I mean, you want to put the haters on your back specifically, Kevin. Go to the NBA or go to the WNBA. Make 76K a year and be like, I don't even care what we make, ladies, because I just signed 8 years with Nike for close to, what, $30 million at this point? Making bank before you even step on the court. That's the way you do it in the WNBA. Who cares about the salary? Earn off the court, Kevin.
I mean, it's great for Caitlin Clark. I don't think, I mean, there is... unsurprisingly, always nonsense conversations around the subject, and but like Wemby's got a huge Nike deal, right? Like he's going to be one of the biggest deals for Nike, right? Moving forward, once LeBron retires in 2 years, so yeah, people get paid right away. Caitlin Clark, no different. Rightfully so, worth every penny.
Yeah, but nobody's hating Wembanyama in the NBA. Like,
I don't know
if they would even. I don't even think they want Caitlin Clark to play in the WNBA. They're so upset with it, the ladies.
I think it's a mixed bag, right? I think, you know, maybe it's because when Caitlin Clark came in or is coming in, people are like. But here's the thing: I don't. They're so defensive that Caitlin Clark is going to be like, oh, she's not going to win MVP her first year. Like, I don't think many are saying. Who is saying that, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, Wemby was labeled the greatest prospect in the history of basketball. And
after one game was leaned the bus, like, my God. What did the San Antonio Spurs whiff after his first
summer? Oh, the summer league? The summer league.
This stuff. So good.
Worries. That so could, good. And then he was so good in the second game. It was like, all right, never mind. Whoops. And then he didn't play again. I think, again, Caitlin Clark is great for the WNBA, and she's getting a ton of money from Nike, and again, it's well worth it. And you'd have to hope that next year Paige Bueckers follows suit and ultimately gets a big deal, you know, and then that can kind of become a trend for, you know, for that league. If they get a star per draft, that would be incredible. That really would.
Yeah. What they should do then is go toe-to-toe with the NBA. Have a full regular season, Kevin. 82 games, women, WNBA. Why not? Like, why would the summer league game with, like, 20 games? Why can't we go full detail?
No, see, this is where you just complain. You and I have both said that the NBA, if they ever wanted to actually compete with the NFL, would need to shrink their schedule down to, like, 25 games.
They really should. Yes, they should. But we don't want basketball outside of basketball season, though. That's always my argument.
No, I don't think
that's
true.
These WNBA games on, Kevin, 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. I mean, come on now. Who's not betting? Who's not watching?
I mean, I don't think it holds the same ultimately. I really don't. It's not like they're Donnie, operating in the summer isn't a bad idea. Like, again, like the XFL trying to just operate like the week after the NFL is over, or just like in the most random time when we're dealing with like NBA playoffs and more. Like, XFL's like, yeah, we're going to run against the Elite Eight. It's like, all right, dude, no one's watching that. Thanks. Like, yep. That's bad timing. The WNBA's timing is totally fine.
By the way, going back to Wembanyama, where, like, after one game, it was like, oh, my God, like, what a bust. Like, we knew when he came over. Now, all of a sudden, it was like, we knew when he came over from France. Like, he wasn't getting any real comp. Do you remember there was a time where in the NFL circles, they were going like, yo, Jamar Chase can't catch, man. This guy just can't play football.
Yeah. I mean, we had so many didn't have, like, the white stripes on it anymore, and he wasn't able to find the football. Yeah. That was pretty
good. I mean, overreactions. I mean, hopefully we'll be laughing at, like, you know, the quarterback down in Carolina at this point. We're like, hey, Bryce, you know, maybe he can play. And we're laughing in 2 or 3 years. We'll see if he gets surrounded by any talent that can sort of help him out. But we got a great show today because the NBA last night was really good. And the NBA last night had some real anger issues towards referees. Now, if you remember, Kevin, we started the show off yesterday going, hey, did you watch the Yankees game where Boone got thrown out when he didn't even say anything? And the ump's like, I don't even care who said it. You're out of here. So just getting lost, get out of town. Last night, the NBA was catching shrapnel. Whether they deserved or not, or whether the games were divided just by a few calls there. But LeBron James, not happy with the officials. Nick Nurse and the Sixers, not happy with the officials. People are filing complaints with the league, and away we go.
Well, let's just handle the Laker one quickly, Donnie, right? So when Michael Porter Jr. fouled / didn't foul D'Angelo Russell, they called the foul initially, right? Mm-hmm. And Reggie Miller goes, I don't know, maybe he challenges it. We are late in the game. And they show the replay, and Reggie Miller goes, oh, well, I wouldn't challenge that. He hit him in the face. And then they challenged it. And they overturned it. Donnie, you always talk about, look, it can be hard to get things overturned.
Correct.
Donnie, I don't know. I'm assuming you've seen the replay. Yeah, it is one of those things. Yeah. It was so crazy. It really, I was like, hold on. The video is him hitting him in the face. And they overturned. It is, I don't necessarily know that that is the single new reason why the Lakers lost. I mean, it didn't help, right?
Yeah.
It didn't help. It's not why they lost the game, but it is a disgrace what happened in that moment. It's an embarrassment. It's an awful look.
Tough scene for the NBA right now. But again, Sixers game.
But he rolled it over and you watched. Face.
Yeah, he did.
And they overturned it.
Yes. The goal usually is the egregious, flagrant foul is what that's for. Like, hey, by the way, LeBron just dunked the basketball, but the ref wasn't paying attention and didn't see it go through. Let's go to video. Oh, look, it did go through the rim. All right, let's count that. The design is not to overturn a tic-tac call when it's like, you know what? He did hit him in the face, and we called that, but how hard did he really hit him in the face?
But that's what the point is, right? The world where
D'Angelo Russell drives, no call, Lakers challenge to get the call overturned. The odds would have been they are actually going to make this a foul. The fact that it was called a foul and they went, they did hit him in the face. Like, we can confirm, but he didn't hit him that hard on the slowdown replay. No foul is the most incomprehensible bit of replay I've maybe ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It really was the way to say it down. Then also, you know, you see the Lakers, the anger they have because they can't beat the Denver Nuggets. Whether the refs are helping them out, whether they have a 20-point lead on the road, a double-digit lead entering into the final quarter, or, all right, no big deal, we'll head to overtime and you get a ridiculous fadeaway over Anthony Davis's, you know, 16-foot wingspan stretched arms here that goes in and Anthony Davis crumbles into the Denver bench as they're sitting there like, I don't know if I want to swing on everybody here or just leave the arena right now. It's a tough scene for the Lakers. I don't know where they go from here because that was one you were supposed to win and be like, okay, we can beat this team. Now we have home court advantage. Now you're going home. You're down 0-2. We'll get to the Philadelphia 76ers game who they should have wrapped that game up as well and ended up losing. Now they're down 0-2. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday afternoon. Kevin and Donnie, be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Tuesday afternoon. Triple header yesterday in the NBA. Cavs 96, Magic 86. Hit the under in that one. Got a terrible number too, Kevin. 2 or 3.5 was my best bet in the morning. Saw it get up to around 206. Didn't need that at all. Magic can't score. And I don't know what that, I didn't look at game three yet. That's an under two because the Magic won't get to 100 in that game either. Knicks and Sixers, 104-101. That stays under the total, but the Sixers do get to cover. That's not really what they cared about. And that Nuggets 101, Lakers 99 game. But I want to focus on the 76ers and what happened there. And me being stunned as a fan, like I don't really watch the games all the way through. I watch the entire first quarter. Got a lot of baseball bets in last night, going back and forth, checking different things out. Heck, I'll even put on a movie. But I always have my phone next to me. Check every couple minutes to see what's going down. I got a couple three-point props I'm watching. I see the Sixers down in the fourth quarter. I'm like, ooh, that's bad. So I tune in for a little bit, like, this is what it is. I flip back, Kevin, a couple minutes later. The Sixers have the lead with like a minute to go. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. I tune back in, watch a little bit of it there. I see the foul, which means that Kyle Lowry's going to the line. I'm like, oh, this is done. Game's over. So I flip back to something else. I'm just checking a couple things back and forth. I actually went, Kevin, so I was like, oh, you know what? Game's probably done. Let me get back over to Sixers post game just so I can see them, like, enjoy the win, 1-1 game, coming home, and how exciting it is. But I tuned in before the final was even done, and it was the possession where the Sixers missed the three-point shot at the end of the game to tie it. And I saw the score, and I said, what just happened in this last minute that I turned away where the Sixers are now going to lose this ball game? And as I watch back on replay, a calamity of errors, mainly by the Philadelphia 76ers, just not getting rebounds, not controlling the ball on the floor. Tyrese Maxey, who was wonderful, decided to jump on a basketball and just roll it right to the Knicks on the final possession. God knows why he did that when he just stays on the ground and gets a tie-up for like a jump ball, and you probably win that basketball game. The timeouts by Nick Nurse that weren't called, the pulling of the jersey by Maxey, that all folds into it. You still can't lose that game, Kevin. You're up 5 with a free throw to go with about 30 seconds to go, and you lost.
It's stunning, right? There is no other way to... I'll be honest with you, DRS. The way I was watching that game was it was on a second TV, and it didn't have the volume on at that moment. And sometimes when a game is over, like to Donnie's point, right? And anyone here who's listening and watching into that game, this team's up 5 with 30 seconds left, right? You go, it doesn't really matter what happens. I can walk out of this room. I could grab a snack. I could use it. It doesn't matter. Because no matter what the Knicks do on this possession, then the Sixers have to shoot free throws. Then the Knicks are going to have to do something. Like, I've got all the time in the world here. And I looked away, Donnie. And because I didn't have the volume on, by the time I looked back, I went, wait, what's going on here? Why are the Sixers losing? And obviously I went back and I've watched it since. It is... I think it is. I think what your starting point of this is so fair. Again, so much went wrong, right? Like, Nurse did call the timeout. Maxey did get fouled. And all of that is real. And again, the officiating yesterday was atrocious. But in what universe does a team is a team losing when they were up five with 30 seconds, 20 seconds later? It was too stunning to believe.
Yeah, because you're right. It was like, well, okay, let's just say Lowry knocks down the second free throw to make it six. That means, like, splash by the, you know, splash three ball by the Knicks. Okay, it's a three-point game. Inbound foul, you get at least one of them. Now it's a four-point game with, like, 20 seconds to go. Splash, three-point shot made. You throw it in. It's another two free throws made. Now it's three. Now you need a miracle three at the end of the game to even send it to overtime. You didn't even get to that point because of how poorly it was played down the stretch. But, again, getting simple rebounds with the Sixers did a great job in game number two compared to game number one at getting rebounds and giving up those second chance points. But Hartenstein got right up there, grabbed the rebound, couple passes, DiVincenzo misses, then DiVincenzo knocks it down. Just tough all the way around, because I thought that was like, okay, Sixers get that one. Now you're down 0-2. I don't care how well you play the rest of the series. You got to win four out of five games. That's not happening. Like, the Knicks are going to win this series where you had to get a split in games one or games two. Because even if you say, you know, hey, look, the Sixers are home, they can win both of those games. Yeah, that's a best of three of the Garden. Stop it. You know what I mean? They're still going to be able to win two out of those three games, probably, even if they can't win in Philadelphia. You have game seven in New York.
What I think the key, Donnie, though, is even for the Lakers, and again, I know it's unlikely, right, is if you force the game seven, you'll take your chances from there. So can Philly force that seventh game? I think yes. I understand what you're saying of, oh, come on, what are the odds of winning that game? But the odds of winning that game are going to be 2.5, right? You know, plus 125. That's
What's coming. Here's what's coming, though. Joel Embiid's going to be out for one of these games. That's what's coming.
You really think
so? You know
it's
coming. I really do. Because you have to think of it, Kevin, like an NBA regular season schedule, right? If you're banged up, of course it's the playoffs. You're going to force yourself to play. He was unbelievable yesterday in the fourth quarter. Him and Maxey, again, mid-30s. You lost. Jalen Brunson, who MVP, what? MVP brickmaker, and they're still winning basketball games. What's going to happen when Brunson actually flips the gas and goes, Kevin, all right, I just went 11 of 14 from the field, including three three-point shots
coming,
made.
Right?
It's over. It's a wrap. It's exactly. Like, he's played such, like, again, he's forces the action. Guys get wide open looks because he's a great, you know, driver of the basketball and to kick it out. I understand that. But he has been so bad shooting the basketball, and they're 2-0 when the Sixers, two big guys, have had relatively very good games and lost.
It is. That's the thing about that series. So the Lakers feel like they should have won one of the two games, but more than anything, the Lakers should have won last night, right? And that was a disaster. The Sixers could easily be up 2-0 as they are down 0-2. And this is the thing where NBA playoffs can be very difficult, though, because it's hard as a Sixer fan or a Laker fan or a Laker backer or Sixer backer to go, hey, look, we lost the road games. We look competitive. We should be able to handle our business at home, right? Like, if you could easily tell, like, Donnie, the Lakers, based on how things have looked, right, should win both games in L.A. But the Sixers should win both games in Philly. But there is something about both of these teams specifically where it feels, there's not that level of trust right now. I think it's not even about trust. It's just, it feels defeating. The way they lost feels defeating. Like, part of the reason we don't talk about Orlando is because who cares? But also, like, the Magic have just stunk. So it's whatever. Like, the Lakers and Sixers should be in such better positions.
No, they should be. Both down 0-2, both going home. Must-win situations. Now, we have another triple header tonight. By the way, I know most people don't follow hockey. It's a guy last night that had five assists in a single game. The Oilers are my squad. We'll talk about them and much, much more next, right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ding. Tuesday tonight in the NBA. Fresh off that triple header last night. Another triple header tonight. Big games across the horizon. Mm-hmm. And I did tell, look, we have Major League Baseball today, which is fantastic across the board. Last night I did lose money with RBI props. Tough scene all the way around. And Kevin, I like to start here as well. 3-point props have not been kind to me because I'm betting like 3 and 4 a pop. And maybe one or two a night, like, you know, $100 a piece. So it's not like backbreaking. But the losses, sometimes I wish like nobody made any 3-point shots. Do you know the hook, or should I say, the player that I lost my 3-point prop parlay on yesterday? Can you take a guess who that was?
Oh, it has to be Jamal Murray.
Mm-mm, not Jamal Murray.
Oh, really?
I needed this guy to make 3 of them, Kevin. Which was below his number. Like it was a buy down on him,
yeah.
Basically. I needed 3.
Donovan Mitchell, maybe?
Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell opened up in the first 4 minutes, hit 2 3-point shots. I needed one more the rest of the game. He went 0 for 8. He went 2 for 10 from 3-point range. It was with one of those
right.
Where I was watching, like, because I had Josh Hart in a couple, which was fantastic. Who else did I have? I needed, who else was it to make? Jalen Brunson actually made one late in the game, but it didn't matter for me at that point, right? Like, nothing mattered because the one that anchored, I was like, you know what? This looks like a really good night out here. He, and Kevin, before, like, it was like 9-3 the score, and like he had 2 of them down. I'm like, oh, that means, again, your thought process isn't like he's going to make one more, which is automatic, which quite frankly probably should be if you're 2 for 2, but it means, yeah, he's going to shoot at least 6 to 7 more 3-point shots. He shot 8 of them and went 0 for 8 to end that game. That didn't matter because they won 96-86. But the same thing a couple nights before with Jason Tatum. Everybody made multiple threes except Tatum, and he shot 8 of them, which was insane that I went down that way. So I'm feeling the heat a little bit at this point on that end of it, but that was a tough scene certainly all the way around. Now, mm-hmm. Let's focus on tonight's action. 3 games, great stuff, man. 7:30, 8:30, and 10 o'clock. Suns, T-Wolves, great series. Pacers, Bucks, who knows what we're getting out of that series. Mavericks, Clippers, the Mavericks are out here like, we got to win this game. And I get an update about an hour ago that says somebody appeared at shoot around today, Kevin.
Yeah.
Can you guess that named individual?
Yeah, James Harden, Vika Zubac, Paul George, Terrence Mann. Come on.
You're getting close.
Yeah, Kawhi was there, and then what?
Woo! Now, see, here's what we don't know, Kevin. They're like, well, we didn't say he was shooting. He was at shoot-around.
Yeah,
his leg has been amputated early Tuesday morning, but he's still questionable. That's the updates that we get for Kawhi Leonard. Never, ever believe a Kawhi Leonard story. Like, hey, by the way, he got that injection. He's probably good to go for game one. Yeah, he's not playing. So who knows what to expect from Kawhi Leonard? Now, let me ask you this question. If Kawhi plays, but he's still a little bit banged up, is that good for the, you know, the Clippers at this point? Like, what's good for them tonight as they're favored now?
Donnie, it's so unique because the thing with Kawhi, right, is we're under the impression of, oh, well, look, he could probably play tonight, but he'll be all good for game 3. Let's just make sure he's good for game 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Truly, like, you and I have talked about this for so long. The world where Kawhi doesn't play a game this playoffs would not be surprising. Kawhi was getting questionable tags in a conference final series when he had a torn ACL.
Yeah.
I don't think the Clippers have any idea if he's healthy, if he's close to healthy. So he was at shoot-around. Cool. I don't care. Like, if Kawhi plays tonight, Donnie, like, you're saying what would be best for the Clippers. It is irrelevant.
Yeah.
They make no decisions when it comes to this guy.
Dennis decides.
Absolutely. Whoever, Dennis, Kawhi, I don't care. It doesn't matter. The Ty Lue does not decide if Kawhi Leonard plays on a nightly basis. Kawhi decides that.
By the way, I still sometimes go back to this, Kevin. This guy has, like, you know, what, thigh issues, quad issues. Gets mm-hmm. traded from San Antonio because he didn't like the treatment he was getting, had nothing to do with, like, Pop. They just cut off all communication, and nobody knew what Kawhi wanted to do. So they eventually trade him to Toronto. He goes there and is the charm of Canada. He is a national hero. He takes them on a one-year ride to a championship. He's at a parade with like hundreds of thousands of people. They love him. They want him back. They'll give him whatever money he wants and whatever he wants. And he's like, yeah, I'm leaving. Like, I don't care about this place. All I want to do is go to L.A., which isn't even the Lakers, and buy a nice house, like in a place where nobody can see me. Because didn't he live in like San Diego, Kevin, but played in L.A.? Like, he's that, what, like, wildness, like, at that point. Like, he's just so off, like, premise. It's just a wild scene out here. But that's Kawhi Leonard, and that's why we got three games tonight. Let's take a look at him. Three-point line, one-point line, one-and-a-half-point line. We're expecting big things tonight, and teams trying to avoid going 0-2. The question is Dame Lillard even going to score tonight after the second half he pulled off against the Pacers? We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Telling you right now, people, I already took my best bet. Won it last night again. Been on a hot streak, Kevin, on the early line with best bets. Whether it be RBI props, sides, totals, you name it, hammering away. And yesterday it was the under 203.5 with a bad number. Didn't matter. Easily stays under Orlando Magic and Cleveland Cavaliers. Game number one tonight, 7:30 start, Timberwolves and the Suns. I took the Timberwolves again. Laid the 3 points. They're beating the Suns. They're better than the Suns. I believe that. I don't think there's going to be a sweep, Kevin, in this series, but the Timberwolves are going to win this series, and they're going to win in game number two.
I disagree. I get it. Minnesota looked good. Phoenix owned the regular season series. The Suns played really bad basketball. Devin Booker didn't have a rhythm whatsoever dealing with first half foul trouble. He found it a little bit, I found, in the fourth quarter. Role players stepped up in a major way for Minnesota. Alexander Walker's 18 points and 4 made threes were incredible in the game. I don't know if those are bankable performances. I think you're going to see Phoenix bounce back here. I prefer the Suns in the basketball game. It's not the lock of the decade, right? This is going to be a really competitive series, I believe. And I don't think we're going to sit here and be 16-0 on home teams through the opening set of games that we have here. So there's going to be some road victories here tonight on this Tuesday. I really believe that.
We shall find out. Now, I like the Timberwolves in that. Anthony Edwards basically telling KD, like, he's that dude. He's the real deal guy, and he's ready to step up. I just like the combination of, look, we can get down and play really good defense, and we have superstars on offense, a very balanced team here, and they're home. So I'll take the Timberwolves again tonight in that spot. We'll see who comes out with the dub. But that line, primarily three. There's some 2.5s out there, but it's primarily three across the board. Game number two tonight, 8:30 p.m., Indiana Pacers, Milwaukee Bucks. This is one of those where when the series began, it was like people could not get enough of the Pacers. And the Pacers just look like a clown squad out there in game number one. Dame goes for the odd 35 in the first half, none in the second half performance, but they didn't need him to score any points in the second half, easily dispatching of the Pacers. My biggest disappointment from that game, and look, I didn't lose any real money on the game, Indiana's Tyrese Halliburton. One of those guys that's like throughout the season before he got injured, like, man, this guy is fun. This tempo was awesome. He was MIA. Like, Pascal Siakam's like, guys, I've been here before. You want to lean on me? Come on, lean on me. But somebody, please help me out. Got no help in that game as they got smashed.
Yeah, it was a nightmare for the Indiana Pacers. And it's one of those things, you know, you look at Tyrese Halliburton making a postseason debut. Are we going to say, okay, Halliburton struggled in the postseason debut as a series or in just game number one? But the thing about the struggles is, Donnie, he shot better than 50% from the floor. You do not get to leave that court 4 of 7 as a team's best player. Yes, I understand Halliburton's a superstar because of his ability to pass. It's why he's on Team USA. He averaged 15 attempts per game in the regular season, along with 8 threes and 20 points per game. He attempted 3 threes and 7 total field goals. That was an unacceptable night from Tyrese. It really was. But he should know that, Donnie. He should be well aware that that was not good enough. And he should be able to bounce back here tonight against the Milwaukee defense that, you know, again, did Milwaukee all of a sudden find the cure for covering Tyrese Halliburton? Because this is a kid that they've not been able to cover all season long. You look at these regular season matchups, 31, 26, 22, 27, and 29. I mean, he dominated this basketball team, averaging well over 25 points a night in the regular season. They figured him out now that the playoffs start. I'm interested in some bounce backs on Halliburton here.
Yes, he needs to bounce back. Like, he's supposed to be that premier guy that's going to lead that team, and that's why they were favorites entering into the series. And it just gives Giannis Antetokounmpo maybe an extra game here to recuperate. Who knows when he's coming back, but I guarantee you, if the Bucks win, they're not going to rush Antetokounmpo back up 2-0 in the series. You might not even see him if he was healthy until Game 5 at the earliest at that point. Now, we're going to get to the Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers in just a second here, but something always catches my eye sometimes on social media. This is what I love, and it's about the Giants, Kevin. Now, when we talked about, like, Dave Gettleman in the past couple years before he got fired, it's like, this guy's the dumbest GM in the history of sports. Like, man, it can't be any worse. You know, Dable's one of my favorite coaches out here. Joe Shane is the new general manager. Can't be any worse. It's way worse. It, like, they are a clown college up there, which, fortunate enough for the rest of the NFC East, you get to laugh at it because you don't want them to hire, let's just say, a good general manager, a good front office to do things. Like, hey, Daniel Jones is worth 100-some-odd million. Everybody else says, I wouldn't pay a dollar for that quarterback. But you're going to play $100+ million. Congratulations on that. But here's what I like when I hear this in the offseason. Beat writer says for the Giants here, it sounds like Darren Waller will be retiring. The next sentence says, the Giants have had trouble even getting in touch with him in the offseason, but indications are he's probably going to retire. What is going on in that franchise? Like, you're trying to maybe draft like a Brock Bowers or set things up and go, you know what, I think Waller can play. Hey, have we heard from him? Nah, man, been trying him since January 3rd. But he doesn't return our phone calls here. Oh, really? Okay. Well, all right, let's see what happens here. I don't know what's going on there, but that just caught my eye as hilarious. Like, look, we got the draft coming up. We got to know if you're in or out. Yeah, he's not returning our phone calls.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's really, really bad.
Is that is he married to Kelsey Plum? Is that the guy?
Yeah, I
is he married
know.
To that WNBA player? I think.
You know, she's
all over the place. You can't just ask, hey, where's your husband? Is he playing or not?
Well,
like, what's the deal?
I'll tell you this right now. You type in Darren Waller on Twitter, all that comes up is stuff about Kelsey Plum. Oh, Kelsey Plum. Is this a real tweet?
What is it? Oh, wait. Whoa. Okay. Yeah. You know what's funny? I just typed them both in. It says 1 hour ago update. File for divorce.
Jeez. I'm devastated. I walked through fire for that man, but now I see it's time to go.
Whoa.
One day I'll share my story. Today is not the day.
Oh.
Today and every day I'll continue to choose joy.
Wow. I mean, Wallace had his issues in the past. Like, I don't know anything about what drinking, I believe it was, his main issue for a long time, where it's like, hey, man, this guy's got the world by the you-know-what, but he's going to blow it with a drinking problem. And he overcame that and been a very good NFL player. But that sounds kind of ominous right there at that point.
And I mean, look, no idea what the situation is. Obviously, it does suggest a separation. I don't know. I'm not really sure if those things are connected. I mean, it certainly suggests that, you know, Darren Waller, I mean, getting divorced and retiring all in the same offseason for a guy with his backstory, you're right, Donnie, your question marks. Here's the thing, though, with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
You draft a quarterback. You can't start him year one. You can't. Go let Daniel Jones out there and run amok. Donnie, they have no weaponry. I mean, I like Wandell Robinson, don't get me wrong, but Saquon is gone. Darren Waller was the big offseason acquisition, and he's going to seemingly retire. And then you've got the opportunity to draft, you know, one of these superstar wide receivers. Quarterback is more important. And if you love one of these quarterbacks, you go and get the quarterback. You absolutely go and get that quarterback. But you can't play. You cannot send a quarterback into this situation, I feel.
It's always, I always find it, because I look at, like, different sports in, like, different ways. But it all comes back around to the same thing. It's like, you technically all have a salary cap. How does some teams end up spending the same amount of money and getting very good players, and you just have nothing for what you spent on? Like, I laugh at, like, my Philadelphia Flyers. Like, in the same breath as, yeah, we have the same salary cap as everybody else. We have no talent in Philadelphia. And then you look at a team like the Rangers and, like, let's just say the Oilers. It's like, I don't get it. Like, why do they have, like, seven players that are really good and talented and can score, and my Flyers can't, like, even score on the power play once every 2 weeks here? Like, it's kind of crazy because it brings up the point about the Giants. Like, hey, we're in a good spot here. It's like, what is right with the franchise? So let's just say they, and by the way, I have a comment on Dan Orlovsky coming up in a second here, right, what I saw this morning, which you're going to love this. But, like, if it's like, hey, the Giants found their guy again, like, I really would laugh if it's J.J. McCarthy. And I'm not saying he's going to be a great pro, but it's like that mold quarterback going to the Giants, like, in the shape of, like, a Daniel Jones. Like, stop, you know it didn't work here. But, by the way, Dan Orlovsky, my guy, never fails to impress. I want you to hear what he said about a certain quarterback in the draft and what he's actually going to do or capable of doing, Kevin, in 2024. You'll like this. Stick around. We'll be right back here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Who's having fun here on a Tuesday afternoon? Everybody is. Why? Because it's Moneyline. We got the NBA tonight. We're going to get to the Mavericks and the Clippers in just a moment here. But I did want to bring up a little Dan Orlovsky action today, Kevin, because I love this. Like, I'm trying to learn. Like, in my, I'm going to say my earlier days, like, getting into this business, I mean, what am I, 40? I have to ask my wife every once in a while. I even asked Ben one time. Like, Ben, I'm born in 1977. Like, what's my age? I'm 46 right now. Which sometimes, I honestly can't remember if I'm 46 or 47. Aww. But when my wife tells me I'm 46, I'm like, thank goodness, man. I thought it was actually 47. Save the year at this point. But, like, I've been around the block quite a bit. And I love a good hot take. I love to, like, hate on something here, even if everybody doesn't hate on it. Because that's just my opinion, and it's fun to hear the responses back. Whenever I watch, like, some shows, and I always, it's not picking on Dan Orlovsky because he knows what he's talking about in football, but I just feel like when you're on the national stage, it's like you don't want to catch any guff from, like, national players. So everything comes out like, you know, six quarterbacks are in the draft that are supposed to go in the first round. Like, each and every day is like, man, I could see, like, Penix number one overall. Like, that's what it feels like he says. But this one I loved even more. The Minnesota Vikings, who are looking for a quarterback, let's just say if it's J.J. McCarthy, you know, if, whether you think it fits or doesn't fit, not really irrelevant, but, you know, that's your basis on that. But I watched a clip of him, Kevin, this morning, and he said, look, if McCarthy goes to Minnesota, he's an unbelievable play-action quarterback, which fits perfectly with the Minnesota Vikings, as if nobody does play-action in the NFL. So I'm like, okay, it's fine. You want to hype up that offense a little bit. But the next segment out of his mouth was, they're not going to miss a beat from Kirk Cousins to J.J. McCarthy next year. And I was like, just stop the carousel right now. So you're telling me right now this team, who has an unbelievable wideout, no doubt about it, in Justin Jefferson, he can propel a lot of things. But you're telling me a rookie that threw for like 160 yards a game, you're not going to miss a beat with Kirk Cousins leaving town and him starting as a rookie. And also, he's going to be the rookie of the year because of how good he's going to do in Minnesota. Now, could it come out to play? Yes, but I don't understand, like, where do we get that leap of faith where it's like a Pro Bowl quarterback is leaving who throws for like 4,500 yards and 30-plus touchdowns is not going to miss a beat with a rookie quarterback coming to the NFL who has never thrown for a ton of yards? What did I miss?
Yeah, I think you've got a situation where the Minnesota situation is viewed as maybe the best possible for any of these potential quarterbacks. Because, Don, remember you were firing on Nick Mullins overs and, you know, Justin Jefferson was still hitting every number. My point is, the thought has to be, look, that offense was able to put some numbers up while Kirk Cousins was gone. And I think what you're seeing is people's belief in Kevin O'Connell. And look, ultimately, you have to be willing to rank these quarterbacks. But I know that, you know, what I've seen from Brian Daboll, right? I think he's a really good head coach. But now, if you tell me, hey, look, they drafted Jaden Daniels, and he's going to start week one, yeah, that's going to go poorly. Kid might run for 1,000 yards. He's going to lead the NFL in interceptions and fumbles. Like, that's what you're going to be getting there, because that's not a good situation. But all of a sudden, you take that same player, and well, he's thrown to the best wide receiver in the league. Kevin O'Connell offense has been running smooth. Jordan Addison's sophomore season. That's really exciting. That's a real opportunity you have there all of a sudden now in Minnesota, right? Yeah. Kid went to Denver. Look, I like Sean Payton, but Cortland Sutton looks like he's getting out. Jerry Jeudy's already gone. I don't know how much I love the scenario now. So I think, and look, I don't know if that necessarily answers the song and dance you always say Arlovsky does. I'm talking about, though, like you could bet right now, Donnie, the offensive rookie of the year market. Unless you think the Caleb number's a disgrace, why would anyone ever do that? Like, it is going to matter where these kids go. It just is.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, if, you know, Caleb goes number one and picks up Roma Dunze at nine. Like, he has no excuses. Like, he actually should be a really, really good quarterback just by default, because you're seeing something where most rookie quarterbacks don't get. Like, hey, rookie quarterback to the Giants. Like, it's going to be a tough swim for a couple years. Hopefully, we just don't break this kid's, you know, confidence along the way. Caleb Williams comes in as, yeah, I'm the Heisman. I'm the best player. What do I have to deal with? Oh, I got a great running back. I got a solid offensive line. Three outrageous wideouts and a good tight end. Why would I not succeed in year number one? So Caleb probably should be that mark. But you know what I would like to ask too? It's like, hey, Dan, we can get you on the show. We'll have a nice little football conversation. Of the top three quarterbacks, right, that are supposed to be off the board, let's just say it goes 1, 2, 3. Caleb, Drake May, and or Jaden Daniels, 2 or 3. Let's just say it goes that way. Which one of those guys would be a bust? I don't think he can answer that question. Like, I just don't think it's like capable of saying, like, yeah, you know what? Jaden Daniels isn't going to play really good football at all. I just don't. Like, every one of those three quarterbacks, like, amazing, 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 amazing.
What's interesting, though, and is, hey, listen, I've got, when you, if you think J.J. McCarthy is like the 15th best prospect in this class, right, it's irrelevant. He is either going to be a starting quarterback or not. And if he is, he's not the 15th best player in the class. He's whatever the best quarterback is, right? Few exceptions depending on how good a Marvin Harrison might be, whatever. You know what I mean? But the point is, quarterback is so important. Like, you're either going to get it or you're not. Like, the reality with Bryce Young, and look, I still think that because of how high I was personally on Bryce Young, like, something's there. But if Bryce Young doesn't figure it out, it's not all of a sudden a situation where it's like, ah, we look back on it, and Bryce was probably like the 30th. But no, he's completely useless. I don't mean to be rude, but that's the reality of it, right? Like, you can find a home as a fringe wide receiver. Like, Khalil Shakir, Donnie, could play for a decade in this league. Bryce Young is either going to figure this thing out or be basically irrelevant to the landscape. So it's, we, you get to the pre-draft process, and I get what you're, you, it would be pretty interesting if we had a situation where it's like, hey, listen, I'm telling you right now, J.J. McCarthy is going to flame out of this league. But it's when someone's going in the first round at the most important position, it becomes difficult, even if it's very likely.
I agree with you. I do. And the draft, look, Thursday, it's coming quickly, too, by the way. Like, it's Tuesday. Like, we're basically a day and a half away at this point, and we got a lot of intrigue that's still going to come up. Now, do you hear any smoke or any fire here on this one? Jaden Daniels did not like how everything was going, Kevin, with that meeting with Washington. Neither did his agent. Does that sort of blow up the spot and throw you off the scent with maybe Drake May can go too? Or is that just blustery and don't worry about that at all? We got one more segment to go. We're going to hit some NBA action and talk also about who that number two pick could be on Thursday night. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Is Jaden Daniels going number two overall on Thursday night? Is it going to be Drake May? Is there turmoil in Washington, which the way they handled bringing in some top prospects, which the number two overall prospect, technically, Kevin, did not appreciate, nor did his agent. They wanted one-on-one time, not hanging out at Topgolf.
Sounds very Washington Commanders, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
Sounds very Washington
Commanders. Like, why would they do that, though, honestly? Like, they're not like in the 11th hole where it's like, you know what, there's multiple guys. Let's just bring them in. We'll have a night out. We'll get to know some of the guys. Maybe one or two will fall to us. Like, you didn't invite Caleb Williams there because you knew he's going number one. So you're basically on the clock right now. Let's bring in everybody and have, like, a competitive setting and hang out. It was really odd because usually, Kevin, for me, if I'm a coaching staff, I want to just get that. Look, I don't want any distractions. I'm going to bring in this room. I'm going to talk to you for, like, 5 hours. We're going to have an unbelievable steak dinner after this and celebrate that you're going to be the pick. And that didn't happen.
What I would say, DRS, is it's a weird move. I find it a little interesting, the idea of it. Like, hey, we want to see what these guys are like around one another. I don't know. There might be something to it for them, right? My thing is, I think the fact that Jaden Daniels hated it and they're still going to draft him is what's confusing to me. That's the bigger takeaway. Like, I understand why you're like, look, this is really dumb, what they did. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that they had a purpose behind it. The player they think they're going to have as the future of their franchise thinks it's incredibly dumb, which means, like, Drake May, Donnie, was like, isn't it Drake May who was like, I played great golf that day? Like, Drake May seemingly embracing the heck out of whatever that was.
Yeah.
And still somehow in the room, they're like, no, we'll take Jaden, even though he clearly doesn't want to be here. Like, that's a bad start.
Because I don't know. Again, I don't know how they interacted with each other, but it sounds also that this could be one of two things. They're the dumbest franchise on the history of the face of the earth, which, again, you want to give them a little bit of a bonus boost because it's not the same regime and they're trying to do things differently. But could they be the mad scientist, Kevin, by going, we heard Jaden Daniels is kind of a tough guy to be around. Let's bring a bunch of people in together and just watch them in this setting.
Yeah.
And the only guy that hated it was Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
But they'd be like, do you see why we just did this? Because it wasn't about J.J. McCarthy or Drake May or whoever was there. It was actually about Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. We wanted to see how he would interact in a maybe like a setting that he doesn't golf, but maybe just picks up the club, goofs around, and I was like, damn, that's correct. A good guy, man. He was so much fun to be around that night. Where he sat in the corner on his phone texting like, hey agent, this is ridiculous. I don't even want to be here.
I think you're onto something.
Mm.
But then explain to me how the heck this kid is going to that football team.
Yeah.
Like, they did this exercise. See, you know what that sounds like, Donnie? Is and these are the things that you usually will point out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone in the room had that idea, right? The person who's making the decision said, okay, fine, didn't think it would matter. They came back and told the decision maker, yeah, like, Jaden Daniels should not be our quarterback. And like, yeah, I don't care about that. I watched the tape. I don't care about the stupid golf thing. We're taking the kid. Which is, bad starting point, though. It's a bad starting point. Like, it's the last thing the new regime of the Commanders needed, right, was everybody getting off on a disagreement.
I like that, too, because you're right. Like, it would be like, you know what? Front office, we're all going, top golf, top prospects. We're all going to evaluate, and the time comes like, where the hell is Donnie at? He said he didn't want to come and want to be a part of this. All right, I'll meet with him tomorrow. You didn't go last night. Yeah, I've been watching tape of Jaden Daniels, so what do you got for me? Well, he doesn't like golf, and he didn't really like the guys. Yeah, I don't care about any of that. Did you watch his tape? This guy's going to dominate. He's number two. I'm glad I didn't go to sort of say, I watched film for 3 years on this kid, and you're going to tell me because he didn't want to be a top golf, he's not going to be a good football player in the NFL, so that's what we're waiting on. By the way, Mavericks Clippers tonight, 1.5-point spread. Clippers now the favorites. Do they get the job done? I need the Mavericks to win because I got a parlay in this series, and the Mavericks are one of those parlays. I need the Mavs tonight. We can't be 0-2.
What's the series parlay?
Series parlay is, I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's four teams. It was, hold on, because I can go back to yesterday. It was, I left the Sixers off. Denver's in there, yes. Minnesota is in there. Cleveland is in there. And then the other team is, exactly, Dallas, yes. It's a pretty good paying parlay overall because the nice plus price was on Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And that's the team, like, good, I need that 2-0 lead. But I need Dallas. Like, Dallas was a good price there. I need them to win that.
Okay, yeah, I think Dallas bounces back. Like, if you look at the Dallas bot, like, and again, if you watch the game, they had one bad quarter where they scored 8. And that was bad, but they can bounce back from that, no problem.
Come on now, boys. We need you tonight. Luca, we need you. Kyrie, yeah. We need you. The boys need you out here. Thanks for tuning in to another exciting episode here of Moneyline on a Tuesday afternoon for Donnie and Kevin. See you tomorrow on a Wednesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.